All right. Okay, good morning, everyone, or good afternoon if you're in the East Coast. This is Hugh Culver, and I am hosting the CAPS, the Canadian Association of Professional Speakers, Business Growth Series again for this year, which is really my pleasure. It's a chance for me to connect with a lot of the members in CAPS, which is really fun, but also to bring you some experts that you might not normally run across in your day-to-day work, who are really experts in specific areas that we can all value and learn from. So in the past, we've had people like Michael Port, the author of Book Yourself Solid, Gideon Shalwick, who is this really bright guy in Brisbane, Australia, who's really an expert on video blogging, David Meerman Scott, the best-selling author of The New Rules of PR and Marketing, Michael Losier from the Law of Attraction, and more recently, we had Rick Frischman on from Morgan James, the book publisher in the States that's published people like Brendan Bouchard and others, and my friend David Wood was on, who is a mega big-time speaker who is regularly in front of 10,000 people in his audiences, but also is the founder of the new The Kick-Ass Life podcast, which is really doing a great job of bringing some fantastic interviews onto iTunes. So in this and I should remind you, as I always do at the beginning and the end of these calls, is that these recordings are always archived. So the recording with Melanie today, for example, will be archived on CanadianSpeakers.org website. Just log in as a member, and you should get access to all of these great recordings. And I really encourage you to take advantage of that, because these are timeless. Like, there is a lot of great information that you can learn from as you are growing your expert business. And, you know, what I do is I just record, I download these things, put them on my phone, and I use them when I'm out, you know, going for a workout or when I'm traveling somewhere. And it's a great way for me to just freshen up on what am I doing around my product development, my marketing, my business strategies, and that sort of thing. So today I'm really pleased to have my friend Melanie Dodaro on the call. She is really a great spark in social media, and she is someone that is an innovator. She is really positioned herself as an expert in the LinkedIn field, which we're going to learn a lot about today. She owns a company called Top Dog Social Media. She's been named as Canada's number one LinkedIn specialist. She regularly consults to major organizations around the world on their social media strategy. She's also a consultant, a seminar leader, and a keynote speaker. Melanie, welcome to the Business Growth Series with CAPS.
Thank you so much, Hugh. It's always, always fabulous to talk with you.
So we're going to let people in on a little secret, and that is, Melanie, and that is that we're actually probably 3 miles apart, but here we are connecting to people who are, according to what I can see on the screen here, people who are in Brampton, Ontario, Markham, Ontario. We've got people in Vancouver, Halifax, Roxborough, Quebec, all over the place, even in Washington, Virginia. So this is really cool to have you on the call, Melanie.
Well, I was about to say that I was from Ontario originally as you started mentioning the names, and then I heard the Vancouver person. I'm like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't say that. They'll hold it against me.
Not at all. No. So, you know, I said a little bit about you, but why don't you tell us a little bit about how did you get into this crazy business and become so well positioned and known in the social media world?
Well, it's a great story. It actually kind of happened by accident. I used to own several businesses, brick and mortar businesses, so had lots of experience with, you know, traditional marketing. Spent tons of money every year on TV and radio and newspaper and all that. And then I sold them years ago. It was about 6 years ago, and I had written a book. And so when I wrote the book, I realized, oh, I have to figure out how to promote this book. And everything that I had ever done before was absolutely not going to be relevant to this because, you know, TV, radio, newspaper don't really make a lot of sense when you're promoting a $19 book, right? So I started, at that time, I actually started very reluctantly, I might add, using Facebook. My family is all in Ontario. I moved to BC 9 years ago. And so my mom, my sister, my cousins, everybody was bugging me. They're like, Melanie, get on Facebook. I'm like, what is this stupid Facebook? And finally, I got convinced into joining it. And so for the first month or two, as I was just, playing with it and talking and communicating with my family, I realized that there was a business application there. And I didn't quite understand what that looked like. But I knew that this was a tool, or that social media could be used as a tool to promote business. And so I went on a mission to really learn all about it, because I thought this might be a great avenue to promote my book. So I started studying. I really, studied everything that I possibly could about online marketing and social media for about 3 years, practically full time. And LinkedIn was one of my favorite social networks, and I think that is because of definitely, my business background and understanding that, the business nature of it versus the personal nature of something like Facebook. And after really kind of mastering it, after a lot of trial and error and a lot of failures, by the way, I started having a lot of business owners contacting me and saying, hey, Melanie, I really love what you're doing on Facebook, or I love what you're doing on Twitter or LinkedIn. Can you give me some advice? I was like, of course I can. And I was just giving it all this advice and just loving it. And I realized that I had a big shift in passion. And so from there, I was like, I might as well start getting paid for this. And that's how my company, Top Dog Social Media, got started.
So you have now worked with, I know this, you've worked with lots of different organizations. You've worked with, small solopreneurs. You've worked with big organizations. I think a lot of the people that are going to be on this call today are going to be more in the solopreneur category, or maybe they've got some virtual assistants, or maybe they've got one staff person. What do you run across, Melanie, as that, and I think maybe this is a little bit self-evident, but I think it's worth talking about. What are the challenges of somebody trying to keep up with their social media needs?
It's huge. I mean, there's a ton of challenges with it, because think about it. It wasn't that many years ago when we didn't have this on our plate. And so we still have to do all the stuff that we used to do, and now we have this added onto it. So it's very challenging for people, and it's very challenging to manage, time-wise. And one of the things that I always say is that, you don't necessarily need to be everywhere. Do what you can do with the amount of time that you have, and you can actually do it well. If that means only using one or two social networks, then that's better than using three or four or five and doing them poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So really devote the time. You have to be consistent with social media to get results. And there's studies that show, the longer somebody's been using it, the longer that they've been using social media and the more time that they put into it, the better the results. But the time part is a big factor. So, one of the things that there are a lot of tasks that within social media that can be delegated. And so when you create some systems and processes and a strategy, for example, you might have an outreach campaign on LinkedIn with a specific script that you use. You don't necessarily need to be doing that. When somebody sends me a connection request on LinkedIn, I always have a thank you message that goes out afterwards thanking them for connecting with me. But you know what? I don't send it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
To.
And
right.
That's what we need to learn today is we need to learn, I think, really two things. So one is let's learn how to actually manage our LinkedIn connections and how to actually, get the most results we can from them, but also how to manage our time around it. Because, I could go on, even Twitter. I could go on Twitter, and once I start looking at the people that I'm following, I could be gone for half an hour and, I'm not really that much further ahead. All I've got to do is start clicking on some of those links. So why don't we jump into it? So, and by the way, folks that are on this call, we will have a Q&A session during the course of the call. So there will be a time for you to ask Melanie questions directly about your business. So I want you to be writing those questions down, because my sense is that in a couple of minutes, she's going to start throwing a whole bunch of ideas at you. And you want to write them down on your notepad so that when I say, okay, it's time for some questions for Melanie, that you're ready to go. Okay, so why don't we jump in? So, I know that you have formulas, Melanie, that help you to, maximize your return for your time on LinkedIn. I think people probably understand the basics of LinkedIn, that it's really the business social media networking site. But why don't you tell us a little bit about how you approach it as far as an investment in your marketing?
Well, I think, you know, the number one most important thing is understanding who your target market is and where they can be easiest, you know, where you can easiest reach them, because you can spend a lot of time on the wrong social networks. Facebook is a perfect example of that. I don't know, you know, there's a lot of businesses that spend a lot of time on Facebook that don't get much results. Uh-huh. And so it's not necessarily the right social network for every business. For some businesses, it can be phenomenal. So it's about really understanding who is your target market, where are they spending their time, where is it easiest for you to reach them, and do you have the right type of content that would be interesting and engaging to them? So let's say, for example, even though your target market was using Facebook, but you know what? Your business isn't the type of business that's going to do well on there, because maybe it's, you know, a little bit boring, or it's, you know, very much B2B, business to business, and, you know, people are looking for more fun type stuff on Facebook, then it might not be a place to spend a lot of time. So it's about really identifying what are those right places for you and for your business. And they definitely differ from, you know, anybody in a business-to-business type environment versus a business-to-consumer type environment. So the key is figuring out where to spend that time so that you're not wasting time and so that you're actually reaching your target market.
Okay, so let's assume we've got to that point. So we understand, you know, I speak to corporations, I speak to associations, not-for-profits, I speak to people that are involved in manufacturing, whatever it is. And we want to be on LinkedIn, and my guess is that a lot of people on the call have a LinkedIn profile, but where do I start? Like, how do I start to actually get some value out of that?
Okay, so there's a bunch of different things that you can do on LinkedIn, and, you know, let's get rid of some of the misconceptions that people have about LinkedIn first. You know, a lot of times people think that LinkedIn is a place to post your resume or a place to look for a job. And yes, those things do happen on LinkedIn, absolutely, but the vast majority of the activity that happens on LinkedIn is business. And people, you know, networking and making new connections and doing business. So, if that's the case and you're not looking for a job and you're looking to grow your business, then you need to treat LinkedIn completely differently than what you might have perceived it as. Meaning, don't put a resume on there, you know, because people don't care about, you know, what's on your resume. What they're interested in is how you can help them. So your LinkedIn profile must be, you know, written in a manner that actually really speaks to your target market, that's very client-focused, that's less about you and more about who you serve and how you can help them. And so that's one of the number one keys. I have a three-step formula that I always talk about with LinkedIn, and step one is to get found. You know, it's important that, you know, if somebody's looking for what you offer, that you're showing up at the top of the search results exactly the same way as if they were doing a Google search. You want your website to show up on the first page of Google, because we know that people don't often click over to page two. The second step is to make sure that your profile really attracts and engages your ideal clients. And there's some specific things that you can do, and I'll go into those in a little bit and go into them deeper. And then the third part is, you know, you need to stand out. We know that social media is super, super noisy. So what are you going to do to stand out? And the great thing about standing out on LinkedIn is it's so much easier than anybody thinks, because so many people do this poorly. So all the suggestions that I make are actually really easy to implement and produce immediate and substantial results for the people that implement them. So why don't we dive into them?
Okay, great. And then and by the way, I want to just mention something, and thank you, Mona. You're already on top of this, which is great. There is a question area on, if you use the link that was sent to you with the invitation, there is a web page that opens up. We're using Instant Teleseminar today, and there's a web page that opens up, and there is a place to ask questions. So feel free to ask questions throughout this whole call. I encourage you to do that as well. And I will grab them when there's a moment and throw them at Melanie and keep track of them for you. So just as a point, Melanie, so Mona is asking about joining groups and also getting business via exposure in groups. So we'll come back to that, I think, but I just want to you know, have that as a bookmark.
Groups are a great one, and we can touch on that the profile stuff. Because here's the thing. People want to do all these different things on LinkedIn. They want to jump in, and they want to engage in groups, and they want to create a whole bunch of connections. But if your profile doesn't look good,
right,
you shouldn't do any of that.
All right. Well, let's get into the profile. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so step one is getting found, you know, showing up in the search results. And in order to do that, you want to choose the right keywords that people are looking for. And I would imagine that most of the people that are on this call today are probably business owners, founders, CEOs of their own company. And the biggest mistake that I see almost everybody make is in their profile on LinkedIn, they will put that they're a founder or an owner. And nobody's looking for that. What people are looking for is that what you actually do. So if you are a business consultant or a business coach, for example, you know, don't write that you're the owner and founder. Write that you're a business coach. So that if somebody's doing a search for a business coach, that you're showing up.
Right. And so I noticed on yours, for example, Melanie, you say, the media calls me Canada's number one social media expert, international keynote speaker. So right there on the first line, I'm grabbing that from your profile, right?
Right, exactly.
So it tells me right away you're a speaker, and it says also social media speaker and author right there on the top. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. So, like in the title position of my company, for example, under my experience section, instead of me saying that I'm the owner and founder of Top Dog Social Media, I say I'm a social media consultant, social media trainer, social media speaker. LinkedIn trainer, things like that, the specific keywords that people are going to be looking for versus the owner and founder.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to sprinkle these keywords, you know, all throughout your profile in all the different areas. And there's four primary areas that weigh very heavily in LinkedIn's algorithm. And now I'm speaking geek speak, and it's so funny because I'm the furthest thing from that. I'm actually not a techie person at all. Even though people think that I must be because I'm in social media. But the reality of it is social media is not techie. You know, setting up, a landing page in your Facebook tab, on your business profile or whatever, that's a little techie and you just hire somebody to do it. But, you know, managing social media is not techie. It's relationships. And so when you understand that, it's great. So the algorithm, and I'm sure most people know what that means. If you don't, it basically just means who's going to show up at the top of the search results. So there's four primary places that are the heaviest weighted. And you want to make sure that you have your keywords in there. That's your headline, your summary section, which is really the most important section once somebody lands on your profile because that's the first thing they go look at, your current work experience, and also your past work experience, just one of your past work experience positions. So if you've got those in those places, then you can sprinkle them in other places too, like your interests and, you know, volunteer experience and various other places. But if you've got those in the primary spots, you're actually going to show up at the top of the search results for those keywords. But you can't change them up and have, you know, a few here and then different ones there. They need to be consistent. It's like optimizing a website. You need to optimize that particular keyword enough times so that your Google understands that that is an important keyword on that page.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep, totally. I get that. Yep.
Yes, you would get that. You're pretty savvy with this.
Well, stuff. I also noticed you did something really sneaky here, which I missed this before, but I noticed that in your previous experience, you repeat what it is you're still marketing today. In other words, to be fair, you've got, you know, current, obviously, here's all the things that you are expert in. And then in previous, it's repeated somewhat as well. So we don't go off into some other world that was 20 years ago. There's a lot more about what current Melanie is all about in the previous as well, because that's what shows up when your profile shows up, right? Current, previous, and then education.
Yeah, absolutely. And, something that's important to factor in is that not everybody that's on the call may have been doing what they're currently doing right now in any one of their past positions.
Uh-huh.
So this gets asked to me a lot when I'm speaking and when I'm doing seminars. Well, you know, I didn't do this previously. This is new for me. So what should I do? And so I have a sneaky little trick for that. And that's basically just create a project-based position. So, for example, you know, recently I trained a national sales team on how to use LinkedIn. I could actually put that as a previous position. It was a temporary, you know, contract-type position, right? So you could kind of create one from your existing company, your existing position, into a previous one, something that you did with, you know, one client or you know what I mean? There's all kinds of creative ways that you can do that.
Okay. So what else about the profile? Give us some other tricks around profiles because it's such an important thing.
Okay, so that's just step one. That's just getting found. Okay. The next step is, you know, getting found is super important because if you're not found, it doesn't matter how great your profile is, nobody's going to see it.
Right.
Now, once you're found, you want to make sure that, you know, your profile really resonates with the people that you want to be attracting so that your profile really speaks to your specific target market. And, you know, what I basically say in this section is, in this part of the steps, is to make sure that, you know, your profile is a lot less about you and a lot more about who your ideal client is. However, people do need to get to know you a little bit. So in your summary section, you start off with something, what I call this your credibility paragraph. And you tell all the best things that you can about yourself into one paragraph or maybe two short paragraphs. And then you move right into who your ideal client is. But here's something else that's really important to do and to remember is you want to write your profile in first person. Mm. You know, this isn't a boring bio. This is something that's going to, you know, capture people's attention. You're speaking directly to a person. And the thing that is so important to remember is that although LinkedIn is a business social network, it's still a social network. So be social. So write in first person. Identify exactly who your ideal clients are. You know, my goal, like I a lot of times will write LinkedIn profiles for people. They'll hire me to do it for them because they just can't be bothered, don't have the time, or don't have the desire or the ability to. And so my goal when I'm writing a LinkedIn profile is that when somebody lands on this profile that is within the target market, that they're able to self-select. They're able to look at the profile and say, ah, they're speaking directly to me. I need to reach out to this person. And then you need to, of course, share how you can help them. And remember the old rule that people don't care about you. They only care about what you can do for them, right? What's in it for me? That's what they're thinking when they're reading it. So if they can't see what's in it for them, they're going to quickly move on.
Sorry for cutting you off, but I noticed that when you said mention your clients, like I noticed that what you do is you say, typically I work with ... and then you mention those clients. That's what you were referring to, right, in your summary section?
Yeah, absolutely. So okay. I identify exactly who the ideal clients are that I work with. And, you know, something that's really important to note is you have to remember that the specific types of clients that you work with might identify themselves with different terminology than you use.
Mm.
So it's really important to think about the terminology that they would use. So for a great example of that can be seen on my profile where I will refer to business owners and then I'll refer to entrepreneurs and then I'll refer to professionals because some people don't consider themselves a business owner. They consider themselves an entrepreneur.
Right. Right,
and other entrepreneurs might consider themselves professionals,
yeah.
You know, so it's about speaking the language and the terminology that they use and identify themselves with,
mm-hmm.
and then the specific problems that they face, and then, of course, the solutions that you offer.
Right.
And then here's the most important part that every single person misses. You want to have a clear call to action and tell them exactly what you want them to do next. Do you want them to pick up the phone and call you? Do you want them to email you? Do you have a lead generation system on your website where you've got, you know, maybe a great free report or free video series or a webinar that you want them to go opt into to get them into your email funnel to get to know you a little bit? Whatever it is that you want them to do, you have to clearly explain that to them so that
okay.
they know what to do.
Which could be just to learn more. So, for example, you could insert SlideShare, or I know that you have videos inserted in yours.
Yep,
so,
but that's not the call to action.
Okay,
so but the call to action. The call to action is, you know, telling them what you want them to do next. The videos and all those other things, those are just additional things that you put in your profile.
Right.
So it's just really important to make sure that you never miss out on telling people what you want them to do. For example, is, you know, if you're looking for a social media speaker for your next event, you know, please give me a call, 250,
right,
whatever, you know what I mean? Tell them exactly what it is that you want them to do.
Get into something.
And
okay,
then, yes, have videos and slideshare presentations and take advantage of the different things that are available within the profile. You can add volunteer experience. There's all kinds of cool things you can do. I'll just note, though, because there might be some really confused people on the line when they go to their profile and try to start adding video and slideshare, that's not available to everybody. And it's just because when LinkedIn transitioned over to the new platform, their new user interface, anybody that previously had a video in their profile or a slideshare presentation, they automatically got the new media functionality that's
okay
in the profile. But those that didn't don't have it currently. So you're going to go searching for it. I get people all the time, do I have to go pay and upgrade? The answer is no. They just haven't rolled it out to everybody. The only people that currently have access to it are the people that were previously using it.
Okay, great.
So stay tuned for that. It will come up.
Okay, so we've talked about summary and we've talked about the profile under, like, for example, right what's, you know, really what comes up right under your name. We've talked about a little bit about what shows up in your current and previous roles, your positions. Not putting your resume on there unless you're looking to get hired. And most people on this call, of course, they're not really looking for a job. This is going to sound funny. We're not really looking for a job. You know, we just want to get hired. So why don't you tell us about keywords? Because we all know about keywords. You know we're supposed to be. But what is a straightforward, you know, get down to business way for me to make sure I'm using the right keywords in my profile?
Okay. The easiest way to figure out the right keywords is, see, the problem with doing keyword research on Google is a lot of times the Google keyword research that you do might not be 100% relevant for LinkedIn. So, for example, if anybody's familiar with the Google's got a free keyword tool that you can just Google, literally Google keyword tool, and there's this keyword tool that will allow you to do some keyword research so you can see how many people are searching for different search terms. Problem with that is that in Google, people are often searching for things, and in LinkedIn, people are searching for people. So, for example, here's just a real simple example. On Google, they might be searching for social media strategies. And on LinkedIn, they might be searching for a social media strategist.
Okay.
So they're looking for a person. So the best way to figure out the right keywords is to listen to who your ideal clients are, the words that they use. You know, when somebody phones you up and wants to know more about your services, what are the exact words that they're using? You know, are they saying, you know, I was looking for a business coach and came across you? Or, you know, whenever anybody calls me or fills out a questionnaire on my website, we always ask, how did you hear about us? And if they say Google, I say, what keyword did you use to find me? And a lot of times they remember, which is great information to have. So just, like, literally pay attention to the specific words that your ideal clients would use.
Mm.
And some of it's trial by error. So, for example, you know, I never used to optimize my profile for the term LinkedIn expert until I found that a lot of people were finding me for that, even though my profile wasn't optimized for it. So I went in and I optimized for it, and that was great, except for LinkedIn contacted me recently and made me change my headline from Canada's number one LinkedIn expert to Canada's number one social media expert, which I was very disappointed that I had to do, but I abided by their rules, so I just went ahead and changed that.
So you're saying, essentially, listen to the inquiries, notice the language that the people are using when they email you, and start to pick up on the kind of phrases and language that they use when they talk to you. Is that basically the idea?
Yeah. Here's another example. Instead of somebody writing using the keyword, and they can still use secondary keywords. I'm talking about the primary keywords, the ones that you absolutely want to have your profile optimized and showing up on page one for. But you can also have secondary keywords. So, for example, if you're a web developer, right, instead of using a primary keyword as web development, that could be a secondary keyword because that's something that you do. But your primary keyword would be web developer or web designer. Because
right.
Some people might use the term web designer, where others will use the term web developer.
Okay, so let's talk about our audience. So these are all keynote speakers, seminar leaders, coaches, authors. Is there anything you can advise us on, like that either we should not be using or we should be using?
Yeah, so be specific so that you're getting the right traffic. So, for example, if you're a keynote speaker and your topic is leadership, leadership keynote speaker.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Got it. So put a twist on leadership. Put a twist on keynote speaker so that it stands out and it's more likely to match with whatever they might be searching for.
Exactly.
Typing in, so they type in. I'm looking
but
for.
But here's another perfect example of this. You know, I've seen a lot of keynote speakers use the term keynote speaking.
Okay.
Again, that's not necessarily, you know, somebody might be, for sure somebody's probably doing a search for that word, and it can be a secondary keyword, but they're looking for a person, right? So it'll probably be keynote speaker versus keynote speaking. And if they're looking for a keynote speaker, they're always looking for a keynote speaker within a certain topic.
Okay.
So topic, keynote speaker.
Okay. All right, so let's transition, and there's questions coming in. I've been stockpiling, and then I do want to open the phones in just a minute. But let's transition into something that we've already been asked about here, which is from Mona around groups, because one of the things that, you know, LinkedIn has a very powerful system around is groups. And I, you know, constantly hear from people that are, you know, making entire businesses around staying within groups that are within their niche, becoming a member of those groups and really contributing, but also pulling business out of those groups. So what are the pros and cons? How do we work with groups, Melanie?
Okay, great question. So here's the key to choosing groups. You have 50 groups that you can choose in LinkedIn. You can only be a member of 50. So if
okay.
you find that you join, you know, 50 and some of your groups aren't effective and you want to join others, you just unjoin some of the groups. Biggest mistake that I see most people make with groups is that they join all groups that are specific to their industry. So, for example, you know, I see realtors joining all the realtor groups and financial advisors joining all the financial advisor groups, whereas what they should be doing is joining the groups where their ideal target market is. So speakers, you know, joining all speaking groups isn't necessarily a great idea. Now, I give people a formula. So if you're going to figure out what groups to join, this is a great formula to follow. 10% or 4 to 5 groups, approximately, can be totally industry specific. So what you do with your peers, so groups that your peers are a part of, peers, competition, whatever you want to call them. And it's great because you can stay up to date and see what's going on, see what others are doing, and just, you know, be in the know of what's happening within your industry. 10%, another 10%, should be groups that you want to learn more about. So, you know, most people want to learn more about, you know, improving their speaking skills maybe, or LinkedIn, or social media strategies, or social media marketing, you know what I mean? Like, figure out the groups that you want to learn, where you need to learn some more information to grow your business. And then the vast majority of the groups, so 80% plus or 40 plus groups, should be groups where your target market is hanging out. Not your industry, your target market.
Okay.
And those are the groups that you really want to be engaging in because that's where you're going to typically find clients.
What are mistakes that people make? So let's say I do that, which I love that formula. It's simple. I've got 50 to work from, so I break it down. What do people do wrong with groups?
The biggest mistake that people make is that they approach it in a spammy kind of way.
Okay.
So, you know, they jump in and start trying to promote themselves or whatever, and that just never works on social media. So the key is creating thought-provoking and interesting conversations. engaging in other people's thought-provoking and interesting conversations, sharing knowledge, sharing information. You can share content in there once in a while too, but if all of a sudden you're just, you know, sharing blog posts, a lot of groups will actually mark it as spam, ban you, delete it, not show it. So it's important the how you do it. And there's ways to do it so that it doesn't look self-serving and spammy, and making sure that you kind of, you know, position it that way. But that's the biggest mistake, is that, you know, people just come across rather spammy, or they join the groups and never, ever, ever go back to them.
Well, why don't we pick up on that? So I'm curious. So what is a better way of doing it? Because, you know, let's be blunt, right? If I've got 80% of the groups that I'm following are my target market, you know, eventually I hope that something's going to happen there. We're going to have some kind of transaction. So what is a good way of approaching your target market?
Are you talking about posting posting a blog post, or what are you
within
talking
a,
about
within a group.
Approaching? Okay, so well, you don't need to necessarily approach somebody within a group. I mean, you can reach out and connect with anybody,
okay,
and start a conversation on LinkedIn. And
okay,
groups are a great place to find those people. So you can click on members within groups,
okay,
and start to look through the different members of the groups to find people that you might want to interact and engage with. And the key is, if you want to, you know, reach out and engage with various people or start a conversation or connect with them, make sure you personalize everything you do. So there's two things that you can do within the group. One is you can, you know, send a connection request to somebody and make sure you're personalizing it and saying, hey, you know, I noticed that we're both members of this group, and here's why I want to connect with you, and, you know, hope you're open to the connection request. The second way that you can do it is actually just send a message to the person, like a private message. And you could, you know, ask them first, before you send that connection request, hey, you know, I noticed that we're both members of this group. Love connecting with other like-minded people. Before I go ahead and send you a connection request, I just wanted to make sure that you're okay with that.
Oh.
You know, and then you could do that. But the key is thinking about social media in the same way that you think about, you know, any kind of offline networking that you do. You know, the biggest mistake that people make with social media is that they think it's a tool to just promote, promote, promote. And you have to think about that. If you were in a networking meeting and you were, you know, introducing yourself to somebody, would the first words out of your mouth be, you know, do you want to buy my stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But people do that every single day on LinkedIn and on Facebook and on Twitter and on every social media site. You know, so start that conversation, provide some value.
Okay.
One of the things that I do that works really, really well is, you know, when people reach out and connect with me, I don't do a lot of, you know, reaching out and connecting with a lot of other people on LinkedIn now, because I've got, you know, a system that just gets me more than I can handle on a daily basis. So I offer people some things of value to them. You know, so if somebody's reaching out and connecting with me on LinkedIn, I know clearly they're interested in maybe learning a little bit more about LinkedIn, and I offer them a couple of free resources. You know, here, if you're looking at, you know, improving your LinkedIn profile, I've got a couple of things that I think you'll really enjoy. One is my LinkedIn checklist that you can go download here, and the other one is you can attend my LinkedIn webinar, and here's the link to go down to go watch that. And people are extremely grateful and really enjoy that, and so you can do that no matter what, you know, niche you're in. So, Hugh, okay, for you, you could talk about, you know, leadership. You could talk about, you know, are your employees, do you find that, you know, procrastination is a problem within your organization? Here's a, you know, really great article that I think you might enjoy. If, you know, if so, here's a great article you might enjoy. And sending them somewhere that provides some value and some interesting content for them.
Got it. Okay, great. And I see James from Winnipeg. You were asking that about keys for creating and managing your group. So I think So
yeah,
he's asking
okay,
about
so,
your own group. So tell us about that, Melanie. Thanks,
yeah, that's
James,
a,
for that.
That's a great one, James. You know, creating your own LinkedIn group can be a wonderful opportunity for you to start to build a community of the target market that you're looking to build. So, for example, if your target market was, you know, specific to a geographic region, so let's say it was Vancouver, and it was business owners or restaurant owners or whatever, right? You just name it that, Vancouver restaurant owners. And then all the Vancouver restaurant owners see this Vancouver restaurant owners group, and they're like, oh, I should join that. And of course, you can also reach out to people and you know, promote your group. So the other thing that I do when I'm sending out my what I call my welcome message, which is thanking people for connecting with me, is I also invite them. I'm like, hey, by the way, you know, I share content every single week, great strategies and tips and whatnot on social media. If you're interested, why don't you join my group? It's called Social Media Marketing in Canada. And I give them a link. And I shorten links for everything, by the way, too, because, so for example, you know, instead of using LinkedIn's big, long, scrolling linkedin.com/blah, blah, blah groups, I just buy URLs that are nice and simple for typing and writing in messages. And I'm like, SMM, so stands for Social Media Marketing, linkedingroup.com. And it's just a nice, clean URL, and I redirect it to my LinkedIn group. So I get them to also join my LinkedIn group. And then I've got a captive audience of people that are sharing and providing content and great information. But here's the best part of all about owning your own group is you can actually message them just like you would with your email database system, where you can send out emails, you know, as often as you want. With LinkedIn, you can send out what's called a LinkedIn announcement. They do limit it. You can't do it as often as you want. They limit it to one time per week. But it's a great opportunity that you can get these people that, you know, might not be on your email list but are in your LinkedIn group and be able to share different things with them. So if you're offering a teleseminar or a webinar or anything like that, you could actually send out an announcement to everybody in your group inviting them to attend it.
So essentially, you create the group based on what you think, where there's a gap and also your area of interest, obviously. I suppose you can also limit entry to the group as well. That's right. Correct, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When you're setting up the group, there's a whole ton of different parameters to choose from. They automatically join, or you have to approve them to join.
Okay.
If there's going to be a message, there's a ton of different things, parameters.
But then you can contact them once a week. So I want to get to some other questions, Melanie, but let's just quickly touch on this one thing because I want to make sure we talked about it. You can do that within your own group. Can you tell me about the pros and cons of people that message their contacts as groups? Like, so what are you allowed to do on LinkedIn as far as sending a message to a group of contacts, and what are the pros and cons of doing that?
Well, when you say a group of contacts, are you just
within the group?
You can't send mass messages out unless you're a group owner.
But I do get these messages. So what's going
on
there?
From the groups, are you talking about from the groups or from individuals?
Individuals.
Okay, so those are not they're not from the groups. Those are people that you have a connection request.
Correct.
That you're connected with.
That's
and
right.
So you can send out messages to people that you're connected with. You can send them out one by one, or you can send them out up to 50 people in one message. So you can select up to 50 names. The biggest mistake that people do when they're sending out a mass message like that is they forget to uncheck the little box at the bottom that says, don't show that you sent this to 50 other people, and list their names. Exactly the way that you do it in an email, you know, when you send an email to 50 people and show everybody's names. You should never do that. Secondly, they're spamming in most cases. They're not providing any value, right? It's a sales pitch or it's something.
Right.
If the message is written properly and it provides value and it's personalized, it's different.
Just don't make it look like spam, right? But if you're adding value, as you were saying, like maybe it's a free download or something like that, it might be really well received.
Absolutely, absolutely, and there's nothing wrong with sending that out to all your connections, but make sure that you're not letting them know that you're sending it out to everybody all at one time. And again, you can't send it out to everybody at one time anyways. You can only send it out to 50 people at a time.
Okay. All right, so you ready for some bullet questions?
Sure.
Okay, real super fast, because the questions are kind of piling in here, and I'm conscious of the time. So, okay, here's one that's they're not in really any order, but just real quick. So Richard's asking from Windsor, how do you transition from your past full-time employment to another full-time employment but without losing your current contacts?
Ooh, I don't really quite understand what he's asking there.
Well, I think he's worried that if he changes who he's currently employed with to a new employer, will that affect, in any way, will that affect his list of contacts?
Not at all.
It should,
once you're connected, you're connected. The only way that you would lose somebody as a connection is if you removed them as a connection or they removed you.
Got it.
A physical step that you have to take. So you're not going to lose anything or anyone.
Good. Yep. Good question, though. Thanks, Richard. Judy's asking, should I be doing something like contacting or thanking endorsers on LinkedIn? How does that work? Can you tell us a little bit about endorsing?
That's a great question. And actually, I was going to mention quickly that step three of standing out. And one of the things I was going to talk about was, you know, endorsements and recommendations and how important they are, as well as, you know, some of the obvious things like fill out your profile and have a professional headshot and include a video if you're a speaker. Those are great things. So the endorsements are just a one little click, you know, endorsement. So it's a great thing to do. I personally don't, because I get hundreds a day. But if you're getting, you know, a couple a day, it's a great opportunity to reach out and connect with those people saying, hey, you know, thanks so much for endorsing me. You can even reciprocate if you know them and feel comfortable doing that. But it is a great opportunity to reach out and connect with somebody. When I'm creating a LinkedIn campaign for somebody, you know, we have, you know, different stages that will, and LinkedIn just made some phenomenal changes, by the way. Hasn't been rolled out to all the Canadian profiles yet. I've gotten advanced access to it. It's amazing, some of the changes that they've made to be able to keep track of your messages that you've sent to people and tags, tag them in different categories, and follow-up sequences to get notifications to follow up in a week or a month. It's phenomenal. So that's how you're going to really get, you know, having a great profile is step one. It's the most important step, right? It's laying the foundation of your success on LinkedIn. But what happens after that, the real results come from being proactive. So reaching out and connecting with people, building those relationships, engaging, adding value, continuing them, not forgetting about, you know, I added somebody a year ago and never spoke to them again. It's not that connection isn't of value to you because you haven't, you know, kind of built that relationship. So, yeah, so when somebody endorses you, it's a great opportunity and an excuse to reach out and just send them a little thank you message. You know, hey, thank you so much. That was really kind of you to endorse me on the skills.
All right. So the answer is, like, if they endorse you, it's totally great. Just reach out and just say, hey, thanks a lot, appreciate it, and that sort of, and endorse back if you want, I suppose.
Yeah, unless you're getting hundreds a day, then it's hard to keep up.
Okay. Thanks, Judy, for that call, that question. So Susanna is asking, she says, I get so many LinkedIn requests from people I don't know. Susanna, you're so popular. I used to refuse requests unless the individual wrote a message explaining where we met or why we want to connect. But not everyone does that, and I don't want to miss out on opportunities. This is a great question. Ultimately, do you accept connections with everyone who requests one with you?
That is one of the best questions, and I'm so glad it was brought up. It's always brought up, and every time I speak, so it's a great one. So here's what's really important to understand: is LinkedIn is your professional network. Facebook is your personal social network. You might be inclined to guard your Facebook profile, not allow strangers to connect with it because you're keeping that reserved for family and friends, or you might be using it for business for other purposes, and then in that case you open it up. But with LinkedIn, you don't need to restrict it. You want to grow your network because here's the thing. You only show up in the search results if you can be found, if you are in somebody's first, second, or third level network, or you're a member of the same group. So you are seriously limiting your opportunities to show up by limiting your number of connections. So you want to grow your connections to hundreds, even thousands over time. And you want to connect with people that have a lot of connections too, because those people massively expand your network. Like, for example, when somebody connects with me, I've got 17,000 connections. They're adding about 25 million people to their second and third level network because of my network. So you want to, you know, definitely connect with some people that have large networks. But having said that, so I used to, my rule of thumb used to be accept them all. I've now changed that, and I'm much more selective because, you know, LinkedIn, like every other social network, has been hit with spammers and fake accounts and stuff like that. So if you see somebody that's got three connections, brand new profile, no content in it, no picture, I'm not going to accept them. So this is a great lesson to you. If that's what your profile looks like, people aren't going to accept you either.
Melanie, so, is there any? Yep. Sorry.
Yeah, no. So you want to grow your network, but do some due diligence on checking out to make sure it looks like a legit person.
Yeah. Okay. And is there thanks, Susanna, for that dumb question on my part. So is there a limit to how many connections I can have?
Yes, what you can only have 30,000 connections.
Oh, 30,000, okay.
And the other thing that's important to know is that LinkedIn restricts you to a lifetime, and who knows, this might change. Everything changes on an ongoing basis with social media, but to send out 3,000 invites. So you don't want to just go and send out mass invites to people that you don't actually want to connect with. So I haven't even used up my 3,000 invites, and I have 17,000 connections, and that's because the vast majority of the people that I've connected with have connected with me.
Nice. Mona is asking, do you need a premium LinkedIn membership to have your own group?
No.
Okay.
You do not.
Uh-huh. So anybody can do that. That's very
anybody
cool.
Anybody can do it. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very exciting opportunity, your own group. I think that.
Yes, you should have one, Hugh.
I know. I'm thinking about Hugh's group. Do you think that's got a good ring to it?
No, you want to name it with the keywords that your target market will be looking for.
Just kidding. Okay, Paul is asking, do I hear you say you have an automatic reply to people who connect with you? And if so, how do you do that?
No. There's no automatic reply, and you can't do that. I have a script.
Thanks, Paul, for that question, by the way. That's a really good one. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a script that I've written that's generic in nature. And when the generic script fits, my assistant sends it as is. If somebody's written to me saying, hey, Melanie, like, you know, they personalized their connection request, saw you speaking last week at social media camp, it was great, blah, 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 then we alter it. She's smart enough to know, oh, you know, it was so great, you know, thanks for, you know what I mean? So she alters it. But it's always personalized to each and every single person.
Okay.
I just don't do it.
So you take that standard LinkedIn email and you send it off to a virtual assistant.
Exactly. My assistant does. Okay. Now, if there's somebody where, you know, it looks like, I'm not sure Melanie might know this person. I don't want to send a generic thing based on the message that they sent.
Got it.
She flags it for me and lets me know. And then I go in and deal with those ones.
Okay. So we only got about 8 minutes left. I'm going to take a risk here. And if you want to hit *2 on your telephone, you can talk to Melanie. Because I know some people are not in front of a computer, so they can't actually type into the box. So *2 on your telephone. And that will allow me to unmute you. And we will try and see if we get a couple of callers that way. This is a really good chance to ask Melanie specific questions. I mean, I know that when I get off the phone, I'm going to go and do some changes right away. I'm going to unmute, ending with 9580 from Toronto. Go ahead, please.
I just had a quick question, Hugh, about you said there was a link in the confirmation that we received that would allow us to actually send you questions. You can either give that to me now or you can send it to me offline. I'll send you an email.
Oh, okay. Well, do you want to ask Melanie a question right now?
No, I didn't. I just thought I was part of a group. Sorry. I didn't have a specific question than that one I just did. But I can email you with that one offline.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else that wants to ask Melanie a question, just hit *2 on your telephone and I will unmute you. As I scroll madly back and forth here, or you can keep typing in questions. This has been awesome. I think we've got well over a dozen questions that Melanie has fielded. Okay, so I'm going to go back to questions and check on that. Okay, so James is asking, any tips for those managing their boss's LinkedIn? Oh, this is interesting. Any tips for those managing their boss's LinkedIn? When should an assistant take over?
Well, you know, it depends. It depends on what you're doing. Like, if part of the goal and objective is to grow the connections, you know, you can manage the account just as though you're him, right?
Okay.
You know, most people manage their own LinkedIn accounts,
right?
And you know, if somebody's actually messaging me, I deal with that. But if they're, you know, just connecting with me, then my assistant deals with that, right?
Yes.
So it depends on what aspects of what you're managing for your boss. But, you know, it makes sense to delegate anything that can be delegated.
Okay. All right. I'm going to take one caller, and then I'm going to ask you about daily rituals. Okay, the kind that have to do with LinkedIn, I mean. Okay, so this one is just showing up as anonymous, so I'm not sure who it is, but someone's raised their hand. So if you could go ahead and just ask Melanie a question with your name first, that would be great. Thanks. So you're on the line. It's someone who raised their hand with *2.
Oh, that might be me.
Okay, there you go. And who is this, please?
Kate Parker from Halifax.
Oh, hey, Kate. How are you?
Way back. You
yeah, exactly. We can still hear you
something
clearly, though, Kate.
Pardon me?
We can hear you clearly, even though it's across the country. So what's your question for Melanie?
Optimized. You said if you have optimized your LinkedIn, and I'm not sure if you meant the upgrade or something else.
Okay.
Yeah, so when I'm referring to optimizing, I'm referring to choosing the right keywords.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. So that's what optimizing means, typically choosing the right keywords, putting them throughout your profile so that you're optimized with those keywords to show up in the search results.
In the summary as well, Melanie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so in your summary text and your profile.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay,
yes.
So if I've decided, the example you gave was, for example, you talked about like leadership keynote speaker, something like that. So I would try to find a way to work leadership keynote leadership keynote speaker into my summary and my main profile.
Right.
That's it. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Kay. Thanks for that. Like nice and lovely hearing from you as well. Thanks for that. Okay, so Melanie, daily rituals. We are keen business owners. We want to grow our business. We are also pretty busy. How
mm-hmm.
do we, what can we do every day to stay on top of LinkedIn in particular?
Well, you know, you want to check into LinkedIn once a day. And what you want to do is basically figure out, you know, what's going to work for you. It's got to work for you and you got to be consistent. So can you spend 10 minutes a day at it? Can you spend 15? Can you spend 30 minutes? Whatever that is, you want to check in. So you want to respond to any connection requests each day. Do that promptly. Follow up with a thank you message. Have a personalized message welcoming and thanking that person that's connected with you. Send out some connection requests to new people. Grow your network every single day. You know, find two or three or four or five, depending on how much time you're going to allocate to this, of people that you can connect with. Check in a couple of groups. Maybe look to see if there's any relevant conversations that you can jump in. And also, something that's super easy to do is update your status every day, because each time you update your status, you show up in the news feed of your LinkedIn connections, and it keeps you top of mind. I have a lot of people that say to me, oh, you know, I love the stuff that you share. Thank you for sharing this article or whatever. I always share my blog posts and my status updates all the time. So it's a great opportunity to, just really stay top of mind and share some good content. And drive more traffic to your blog or website.
So basically, keep it active. You said you can share, mention and link to your blog post. You said change your status update so that sends a notice out to people that that's happening. So the more active you are, the more people see you, and then I guess the more that they're interested in staying connected, correct?
Exactly, yep.
Okay, so, put you on the spot here. Minimum minutes. What do I need? Minimum number of minutes so that I can actually feel like I'm on top of my LinkedIn. I mean, of course, not as much as, you know, someone like yourself might be able to do, but because that's your business. But what do I need? Do I need 5 minutes to just have a look at it and update a few things? What do you think?
You know what? This is completely depending upon your objectives, right?
Right.
The more time you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. So minimum, I'd say 10, 15 minutes.
Okay.
Maximum, I'd say an hour a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you put in, literally, the more you'll get out. LinkedIn is a gold mine for your ideal clients, and it's so easy for you to find them through groups and advanced search, which we didn't touch on. You can zero in on people from everything you want to know, you know, what companies they work for, what cities they live in, the number of people within a company. I mean, there's so much opportunities. LinkedIn is full of your target market. So, you know, the more time you spend on it, the more results you're going to get at it.
Mm. Yeah,
so it depends. If you don't want to grow your business, then definitely don't spend much time there. Just maintain it.
Right. Got it. Okay. quick question, Alan. We've got like 30 seconds left. Alan is asking, well, you're getting a lot of questions. Alan is asking a question here. He says, when you refer to headline, does that mean the part directly under your name? So
yes.
Yeah, that's that part, right? Like he's got Alan Friesen, his credentials, and then all this other stuff. That's the part. Okay,
that's
awesome.
Right.
Thanks, Alan. IJ. Hi, IJ from Calgary. She's asking on Melanie's LinkedIn profile, there's a symbol for member of OpenLink Network. What is that and what does it do?
Oh, it just means that you can, even if you're not in somebody's first, second, or third level network, you can get found and that they'll that you'll allow people to connect with you.
Thank you. Melanie Dodaro, we have run out of time. Thank you so much for contributing to CAPS. I really think that, well, on behalf of everyone on the call, I would unmute everybody, but it'd be chaotic. But I want to thank you for contributing to CAPS. Appreciate that.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's
How
great.
Do they get a hold of you? So if they want to know more or they want to get your help with their LinkedIn profile, how do they do that?
Yeah, you know, go to topdogsocialmedia.com. That's the best place because you'll find there links to all my social media sites. You know, you'll find a link to my LinkedIn profile. You'll find a link to Facebook, to everything. Also, you know, if you wanted to connect and emails there, everything's there. So topdogsocialmedia.com is probably the best thing to do. And also, if you want to download a handy little checklist to help you out as you're working through your LinkedIn profile, go to linkedinchecklist.com and download it. It's free. Handy download that you can have print off right next to you as you're working through your profile.
So that's LinkedInChecklist.com.
Yeah.
That's very clever. LinkedInChecklist.com. I love it. Melanie, thanks so much. Just a reminder, everybody, thanks. First of all, thanks for being on the call. Melanie Dodaro has set a new record for the number of questions being asked in a 60-minute period, so congratulations. Please mark your calendar for June the 19th, exactly the same time. Guy Kawasaki will be on speaking to CAPS, and I'm really excited to have nailed down Guy for a date. So Guy is, of course, the best-selling author of Art of the Startup, Enchantment, and his latest book, which I really encourage you to get, is called APE. Author, publisher, entrepreneur. I read it when I was in Cuba about two months ago, I guess it is now, and it is just a fantastic book for anybody who is thinking about self-publishing. It's called APE, and I really highly recommend it. So Guy Kawasaki is coming to CAPS on June the 19th, exactly the same time of day. So please mark your calendar. You will be getting an invitation very soon. Again, make sure you go and log into canadianspeakers.org and get the archive recordings. And again, thanks for making the time. And Melanie, thanks again to you.
Thank you, Hugh. It's been a great time.
Cool. Take care, everybody. Talk to you soon. Cheers.